Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is a great occasion, for it marks the beginning of the official dedication ceremony for the Stephen Collins Foster Memorial on the banks of the Suwannee River in White Springs, Florida. We're speaking to you from a rather protected position so that in the course of this dedication ceremony that we may be able to tie these various events, some of which will be partly visual, to be able to tie them together with some description of what is going on. At present, we have the University of Florida band assembled and playing a very fine medley of Stephen Foster favorites. On the rostrum is a vocal trio or quartet. We are not able to see them all. We have no clue yet as to their identity. We'll see if we can't find it for you a little later on in the broadcast. If we may, in this beginning period, before the official ceremony begins, we'd like to give you a description of the order of events here. As we noted a moment ago, this ceremony opens with this interlude or medley of Stephen Foster favorites by the University of Florida band. This is to be followed by the Master of Ceremonies introducing Reverend Edwin F. Montgomery, our familiar and beloved Dean of Ministers in Lake City, who will give the invocation for this very stirring ceremony. After that, Mr. Earl Brown, the chairman of the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission, will introduce distinguished guests and give some very deserved acknowledgments for the tremendous amount of work which has been done here. And introduction of special guests of honor will follow, to be followed after that by an address by Mr. John Tasker Howard, who is curator of Americana in Music at the New York Public Library. We had the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Howard in one of our preview broadcasts this morning. He, as a very distinguished authority on American music, also as one of the leading authorities on Stephen Collins Foster, and an author of no mean proportions in having written the well-known and widely circulated book, an autobiography, or biography rather, of Stephen Collins Foster, America's Troubadour. Mr. Tasker Howard's address, John Tasker Howard's address, will be followed by a very stirring solo by Miss Gloria Villar, a soprano from Pensacola, who's a very rising star in the music field here in the South. She will be accompanied as she sings Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair by the Florida State University Ensemble, a very fine string trio who are here and waiting. This will be followed by the principal address and dedication, the actual dedication of the memorial, to be made by Governor Fuller Warren, Chief Executive of the State of Florida. To conclude this very impressive dedication ceremony, Mrs. Jessie Welsh Rose, granddaughter of Stephen Collins Foster, will cut the ribbon which will open the doors to the public to this fine and very impressive museum building, the first of the principal units to be erected in this tremendous 250-acre park, which has been designated as America's Memorial to Stephen Foster. Immediately after that, there will be a medley of Stephen Foster songs, a very stirring medley of considerable length, to which we'd like to call your very special attention, to be rendered by that magnificent choir of the Florida Agricultural and Mechanical College. After that, our national anthem and our remarks in closing. We suspect that in about 3 or 4 minutes, the actual dedication ceremony will begin. So for the present, for the interim rather, we will let you listen to this very fine music by the University of Florida band.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, today, here on the banks of a picturesque, historic river at White Springs, Florida, a great multitude has gathered to pay tribute to America's foremost composer of the 19th century, Stephen Collins Foster. Persons from every walk of life have assembled to pay homage to Stephen Foster and dedicate a great shining edifice in his memory. The songs of Stephen Foster are the folk songs of America, but those lilting melodies and beautiful phrases are also an international language. The memory of Stephen Foster is honored here today for his great contribution to the world of music and as the musical spokesman of the spirit of America. And it is only fitting that the site of this memorial is on the banks of the river he made famous in his best-known song, the song he called Old Folks at Home, but which is now universally known as Way Down Upon the Suwannee River. The Reverend Edwin F. Montgomery will pronounce the invocation. The Reverend Mr. Montgomery.
Let us engage in prayer. O God, our Father, we stand in the beginning of this service today to invoke thy blessing upon our gathering here and upon the purpose and aims to which we have met. Thou art the author of all beauty. Thy spirit inspires all music, all poetry, all art. We bless thee for the diversity of gifts that thou hast distributed to men. Yea, we know thy love rejoices o'er each work of thine. Craftsman's art and music's measure, for thy praise thou didst design. We thank thee for Stephen Foster. We thank thee for this building which commemorates his name, but more than all for the songs which shall hold his name in perpetual remembrance in all, among all people. As we stand beside this Suwannee River and the shadow of this memorial, we do thank thee for the songs which he has written into the hearts of all mankind. And now, our fathers, we dedicate this house to thy glory and to his memory. We pray that thou would put thy name here. Peace be to those who enter here. Rest to the weary traveler who pauses here. May the healing ministry of music touch all our hearts and fill our souls with purity and peace. Hear now, Lord, and turn thy face to us. Direct us in all we do with thy most gracious favor and further us with thy continual help. And we will give thee the praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Mr. Earl W. Brown, chairman of the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission, will introduce the distinguished guests. Mr. Brown.
It will, of course, be impossible for us to introduce all those that we would like to introduce this morning. We can't even begin with the limited time at our disposal to introduce many of those who have contributed in a large way to the success of the Foster Memorial in its present stage. It isn't completed. There are other buildings. There's a giant Carillon Tower, the heroic statue of Foster in a pensive mood on the brink of the river, the music amphitheater under the direction of the State Federation of Music Clubs, and much else to come, we hope, in the near future. We are very thankful that the 15 years of effort put forth in four governors' administrations has culminated in the success we have attained at this time in the completion of this building, the installation of the magnificent collection of Fosteriana and the dioramas. But there are some here this morning who we wish to especially introduce to this group because of their significance to the music of Foster and because of the many acts that have brought about the accomplishment that you see here today. It is my great privilege at this time to introduce to you the Honorable Spessard Holland and Mrs. Holland, and we'd like the Senator to step to the rostrum and say a word of greeting. Senator Holland.
Thank you very much, Chairman Earl. Congratulations to you and the other members of the commission. To our good governor, Governor Warren, who has the pleasure of dedicating this splendid activity today. I wish we could have with us all of the governors who've had a small part in it. I think with particular affection of that governor who carried the name Old Swanee, always with him, and who began this particular effort. I wish he were here, Governor Caldwell. We're happy to have Governor Warren, and I'm glad to be here as one of the four who had participated. It seems to me that in these times when the world is in such turmoil and there's so much trouble and distress, it's a most heartening thing to turn back to the tender old love songs of Stephen Foster and to the things which they held preeminent and dear, the values which are around the hearthside and in the family home and in the church and in the school and in the fields and forests of our nation. I'm sure that every one of us is going to get a tremendous inspiration from this day and from this very fine building and this whole activity, which will mean so much to Florida and to all the lovers of humanity throughout this nation and throughout the world. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator Holland. And it's now my pleasure to introduce to you the widow of our late beloved Governor Fred P. Cone, in whose administration this memorial had its first conception. A rugged individualist to whom the Swanee River typified everything that was good in American life and in his beloved Southland. Mrs. Cone, will you please step to the rostrum for a bow? As the members of the governor's cabinet, I'd like to introduce to you our state treasurer, Mr. Ed Larson. Mr. Larson. Then I would like to introduce at this time a local representative from Hamilton County, the Speaker Pro Tem elect of the House of Representatives, the Honorable J.W. McAlpin, who has worked hard in all measures for the advancement of this memorial. Mr. McAlpin. I would like at this time also to introduce to you the Honorable Newton Bracken, if he is here. Mr. Wallace Sturgis. Afraid we're a little short on members of the legislature. At this time, I would like to announce that this program will be carried over the Voice of America, and the head of that program sent here to take charge of the recordings today, Mr. James Yankauer. Mr. Yankauer. I would now like to present Mr. Fred Temple, representing the National Broadcasting Company and the owner and manager of station WDSR. Mr. Temple. And Mr. Phil Gaines, whom you have heard and whom we are delighted to have here with his great talent as a master of ceremonies of the American Broadcasting Company. Ms. Gaines. In this audience today, we are happy to have with us from Washington, the Chief Designer of the United States Department of Agriculture, a boy who was raised on the banks of the Swanee River at Live Oak, the architect who designed this memorial, Mackie W. White. Mr. White. And if we could get them here, I don't know where they are. They're working, because that's all that they do around here, it seems. Foster and Mrs. Barnes, the landscape engineer, the curator, and his wife, who devote many hours every day to our cause here at this memorial. Foster Barnes and his wife, Velma. we would be greatly amiss at this time if we did not thank Mr. Floyd, one of the commissioners of the State Advertising Commission, Mr. Hal Sadler, their director, Mr. Carl Livingston, Mr. John Fleming, who have had charge of the publicity of this event, and who, if it were measured up in column inches and paid for at the advertising rates in the newspapers in which it appeared, have made a contribution to this cause in the state of Florida in top-grade publicity of over $500,000, including the two-column story yesterday in the New York Times. And I think they've done a magnificent job, and I think we ought to give them a good round of applause. I would also like to present Mr. Jack G. Holtz of Fort Myers, the president of United States 41 Highway Association. Mr. Holtz. And now it is my very great pleasure to introduce my associates on the Stephen Collins Foster Memorial Commission, and I will ask them to stand as their names are announced, and we'll save our applause until they are all standing. Mrs. W.A. Saunders, secretary, Mrs. Lamar Bledsoe, Mr. Joseph Cawthorn, Mrs. Alfred I. DuPont, and Mr. Ed Larson, ex officio member of the commission. This memorial has been fostered and pushed and advanced to the best of the ability of the music clubs of Florida under the State Federation of Music Clubs. A great many of the officers and distinguished members of that organization are here today in a meeting in connection with this event, and I also will ask them to stand and remain standing until all of the names are announced, and then we will give them the applause they so richly deserve. Mrs. A.A. Cole of Nashville, Tennessee, Vice President of the National Federation of Music Clubs. Mrs. Garland McNutt of Miami, President of the Florida Federation of Music Clubs. Mrs. Leon Whitehurst of Brooksville, who originally proposed a memorial to Stephen Foster on the banks of the Suwannee River. Mrs. William C. Brooker of Tampa, president of the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission. Mrs. S. Leroy Smith, past president of the Stephen Foster Memorial Commission of Lake City. Mrs. Edwin F. Montgomery of Lake City, past president of the Foster Memorial Corporation. Mrs. Margaret Hass of Jacksonville, past president of the same corporation. Mrs. George Barco of West Palm Beach, past president of Florida Federation of Music Clubs. Miss Bertha Foster of Miami, founder of the Musicians Home of America. And Mr. Bobby Sanchez, I'll ask to stand with the ladies because he also has worked on this thing for many, many years, the senator from this district. We have a great many other members of the legislature here. They're pushing us for our time because this is going out over the air. But I do want to acknowledge some contributions that have been made to this memorial of outstanding importance. First, the land in this 245-acre park was contributed by the town of White Springs, Messrs. W.A. and Dr. A.F. Saunders, Mrs. Amy Mathers, Mr. Johnny Finn, Mrs. Pliny Bullock, Mr. Bryant Bullock, Mr. Raymond Camp, trustees of the Internal Improvement Board and this county, Hamilton County. I also want to acknowledge the gift of the Jenny Lynn Rosewood piano in the music room. This was autographed by the Swedish Nightingale on her tour of America under the sponsorship of the great American showman, Phineas T. Barnum. It was given in honor of Albert Du Bois Paulding by his daughter, Mrs. Bernard H. Hale of Elmer, New Jersey. The square grand piano of early American hand production of the era of 1830-1840 was presented by Miss Isabella Jameson of Philadelphia, who a few days ago became 94 years old. The outstanding collection of Fosteriana contained in the glass cases in the two end rooms of the museum building is a gift of the Foster Hall Collection, University of Pittsburgh, and presented in honor of the late Josiah Kirby Lillard. The sterling silver tea service contained in the wall cabinet is the gift of Mr. and Mrs. R.W. Roberts of St. Petersburg. The telephone installations were given by the Florida Telephone Corporation, whose president and other officials have also made additional contributions in cash. The beautiful draperies were designed and presented by Cohen Brothers, a department store of Jacksonville. The food served here today is furnished gratuitously by the citizens and merchants of this North Florida area, as is the work of preparation and serving. The orange juice is served with the compliments of the Florida Citrus Commission. Time does not permit the enumeration of other important contributions of service material and funds because of the great number and their great volume. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Ladies and gentlemen, as special guests of honor at this historic occasion, we have with us three persons from the city of Pittsburgh for whom this dedication has special significance. Pittsburgh, you know, is the birthplace of Stephen Foster. The man who has done much to help make this museum possible, the man who is one of the greatest authorities on the life of Stephen Foster, the curator of the Foster Hall Collection at the University of Pittsburgh, Mr. Fletcher Hodges. Thank you, Mr. Hodges. Stephen Foster's great-granddaughter, Mrs. Ralph Milady. And Stephen Foster's granddaughter, Mrs. Jessie Welch Rose.
Dear friends, I just want to say that I love this beautiful memorial, and I love you all for making it possible. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Rose. Our first speaker is also an authority on the life of Stephen Foster. He is the author of Stephen Foster, America's Troubadour, the well-known Foster biography. He is a noted composer and arranger in his own right, the curator of American music at the New York Public Library, and a director of the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, the organization he is representing here today. And now may I present Mr. John Tasker Howard.
Our exercises today are in the nature of a centennial, as well as of dedication for the present and the future. The years 1850 and 1851 were most important in the life of Stephen Foster. Last July 22nd was his 100th wedding anniversary, and on October 1st, 1851, the first complete copy of Old Folks at Home was entered for copyright. At some time then, between now and next October, Stephen Foster wrote his song about the Suwannee River just 100 years ago. For a whole century, the world has known about this river through the voice of a songwriter from Pittsburgh. This is a most significant occasion. In a time of stress, in international crisis, when hope and faith are our principal mainstays, the people of Florida, led by their governor and their state officials, gather to honor not a statesman, not a scientist, an industrialist, nor an inventor, but an unassuming song composer and poet. 10 years ago, in 1940, the 108 electors of the Hall of Fame were given the task of choosing several men or women from the past whom they thought worthy of a place in that honored hall. The candidates who'd been nominated included the inventor who gave us the air brakes that brought safety to railroad travel, the great doctor who rid humanity of the scourge of yellow fever and typhoid, naval and military heroes, one of whom gained control of the Great Lakes in the War of 1812, the first Chief Justice of the United States, and a statesman who wrote and negotiated a famous treaty that bears his name. Every one of the many candidates was surely worthy of a place in America's Hall of Fame, and several of them have been chosen in later years. But in 1940, it was not on any of them that the electors could agree. In fact, only one man was elected, not an inventor, a statesman, nor a soldier, but rather the lovable song poet who sang about your Suwannee River, the same man you are honoring here 10 years later. Yes, this is indeed a significant event, just as the 1940 Hall of Fame election was memorable. America, often thought of as the land of commerce, of industry, science, and of vast material wealth, finds time to pause and honor the man who added not gold or steel to the nation's riches, but songs to its spiritual wealth. Songs that have in a century become true folk songs, sung not only in our own country, but throughout the world. Songs which were intended and were published merely as popular songs of the day, but which have become part of our national heritage and of the world's song literature. Stephen Foster was undoubtedly the most American of our 19th century composers. And he was the first of our composers to write words and music that really expressed and typified our nation. Oh, Susanna, Camptown Races, Ring the Banjo are gay, nonsense songs. But they're really much more than that. Oh, Susanna has the buoyancy, the fearlessness of pioneers. Nellie Bly has our tenderness. And Masses into Cold Ground, a sadness of solace and comfort, never of despair. And as for Stephen's greatest song, the one we're honoring today, that's not just a song about a river, even though it has made that river known throughout the world. It's a song that voices the American love of home, the unit of our civilization. The name Suwannee has come to mean a river that flows past the place man calls home, whether that river flows in Georgia or Florida or in the Congo. Though Stephen's laughter, his tenderness, and his love of home were typically American emotions, voiced in a native speech, they were such fundamentally human feelings that they've become a voice for all the world. His nationalism was no narrow chauvinism, but a universal expression that other nations have adopted as their own. Not only the English-speaking nations sing Foster songs, they're sung and published in almost every language. In 1853, Bayard Taylor wrote that he heard a wandering Hindu minstrel sing O Susanna in Delhi. And the Germans, for years, have sung Ich komme von Alabama mit der Banjo auf dem Knie. A recent incident shows how foreigners have come to look upon Foster songs as their own. For 4 years, O Susanna was the theme song of the German broadcast of the Voice of America program. It had to be withdrawn because the Germans complained that they wanted to hear an American song, not a German folk song. Today, America is warning aggressors that the freedom of man must not be destroyed. To preserve that freedom, it is rebuilding its spiritual, its physical strength. At the same time, we are telling the world, through the radio and the press, the truth about our freedoms.